I'm glad to be here today. It's my first APHA presentation and first time to be part of this meeting. I want to ask, who among you are from San Francisco? Oh, a lot of you are. So for those of you who are not, I'll try and keep my presentation short and sweet so that I can give you enough time to enjoy our lovely city. You have about maybe an hour left of sunlight. Let's hope the fog doesn't roll in, or else you have less time than that. And also my co-panelists trying to catch a flight. Don't worry. I do want to acknowledge my co-authors, Roxana Bautista and Pedro Arista from the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. Pedro in the back, why don't you go and say hi? There. Let's go ahead and skip this slide. It's bright blue. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so just a quick overview. I'll talk a little bit about the program, and I'm talking about a program that we've done for a few years called the Community and Advocacy Training on Cancer and Health, where we've done our outreach, some highlights, and next steps on how you can continue to become engaged. So, as mentioned by Alina earlier, we are the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. You may have attended a few sessions on health equity where some of our my coworkers and our CEO has presented. We are a 25-year-old organization based in here in San Francisco with a policy office in D.C., and we work to influence policy and mobilize communities in order for them to advocate for their general, for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders to advocate for their health and well-being. We engage in policy analysis, advocacy, community capacity building, coalition building, provide technical assistance also in areas of research and communications. And we're also a grant maker, and we fund local communities across the nation. And we work with intermediary between federal agencies and local communities and national foundations. So our mission is to influence policy, mobilize communities, and strengthen programs and organizations. A program of the Health Forum is the Asian and Pacific Islander National Cancer Survivors Network. We are a network of cancer survivors, family members, healthcare providers, researchers, advocates, members, and organizations who are concerned about cancer and survivorship in the Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander communities. You can see in the picture are our co-founders, Susan Shinagawa and the late Reverend Frank Chong, and you can see our National Advisory Council. Oops, I want to say this slide and show you how happy we are. So we are a big family. This is this was taken early February during our face-to-face meeting. So we do have representation on our council from all the way from Massachusetts to DC to Hawaii, and they represent different fields in public health. So our CATCH training modules. CATCH is a program that's funded by the Centers for Disease Control, and we have been funded. This is our second round of funding. And our CATCH training modules are divided into 3 days, or 2.5 days, and each module is approximately 3 hours long. And it's a very unique program and workshop in that we combine lectures and a lot of hands-on training. So as we give you the information, we provide a lot of opportunities for people to practice what they learn and the skills that they learn. So CATCH, the goal of CATCH is to really provide individuals with the necessary tools and resources to become competent and effective leaders in terms of addressing not just cancer, but any public health issue that's relevant to their communities. We give you different skills and different modules. The first module is Introduction to Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander Communities, and a little bit of Cancer 101. I'll go over each of these modules briefly. And module 2 is communications and media advocacy. Next is data advocacy, policy and legislative advocacy, and day three is ethnic and language-specific cancer support groups. So the first day, by the way, CATCH, the 2.5-day training for CATCH, a good thing that I like about it is that it's free. So it's a wonderful program that we offer, and we partner with local communities, community-based organizations, to make sure that the program and the training fits their needs. So we do an assessment of our participants and see what level they're at and make sure that the content that we provide to them is relevant in terms of their needs. So in terms of, so the first is Cancer 101 and also Introduction to Our Community. So as you know, for example, the Asian Americans are the largest growing ethnic population in the United States now, and we want to make sure that as we are growing in different pockets and the different and across the United States, that our needs and our issues are being addressed. So key to really working with communities is we talk about our culture and our traditions and how important it is to really understand how unique our communities are and how you can best work with us. And Cancer 101, really, we talk about just the basics of what cancer is, the types of cancer, and also be able to talk about the myths surrounding cancer as well. Here are two presenters who are also part of the National Advisory Council and the network. Susan Shinigawa is our co-founder, and a short story was when Susan was 34 years old, she had felt a prominent and painful lump in her breast. And as she had approached a surgical oncologist and asked what was wrong with her, the oncologist, and when she had asked, you know, to ask for a biopsy, the oncologist had denied her the service, saying that Asian women don't get breast cancer. And it was during that time when we really didn't have data available on Asian Americans. So if the data is showing that we have low numbers, they're basically saying we're not getting cancer. The funny thing was, she went to a second oncologist who also said the same thing. So if it were not for her insistence, she wouldn't have found that she did have breast cancer. So she is a really great advocate. She continues to advocate for data and for communities. And she's actually featured in the San Francisco Examiner in this issue, special issue for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So try and pick up a copy. Next is, on the same day in the afternoon, is communications and media advocacy. And let me ask you, how many among you have tried to work with your local media? Anyone? Okay. How many of you use social media, either professionally or personally? Okay, almost everybody. And also finally, how among you work directly with community? Okay, good. So in terms of throughout all of our modules, you know, we always stress that communities are key. And for this module, we focus on the impact of storytelling. So how to strengthen your stories, how to bring out the stories of your community, and how to use and leverage those stories through social media or the media to get your message across, and how to get their attention. The media plays a huge role in impacting how public health officials or decision makers perceive the issues in your community. And you can see one of our speakers is Jason Nguyen from NBC in Ohio. And what we do with hands-on training is, when people practice their stories, we do actual hands-on training where a local reporter is there, and he comes and interviews you and tells you what types of stories they're looking for. And on the spot, you know, you get to practice and simulate an actual TV interview. The next is day two, which is led by my colleague again, Pedro. You can see his picture right there. So he does a really fantastic job of explaining data and why it's important for advocacy. How many among you work on data directly for your work? How many of you love working with data as part of your work? No hands. So part of, and it's important for advocacy, really, is if you're trying to bring out your issues and forward, really, you have to show that there's evidence that shows that it is a problem within your community. So this is exactly why we want to demystify data, for at least for us in the health forum. We work with on data every day, so my team thinks that data is cool. And so what we do is we really try to advocate for that and let people know that it is easy and that you can find data and how to use that skills in order to, you know, improve your health programs and policies and any reports that you're working on for funding sources too. Day two in the afternoon is a good transition from the storytelling and the data piece and the cancer piece into your policy and legislative advocacy. So in this piece, and then I have another question for you. Who among you, and this can be off record, who among you know the names of your local legislators, your mayor? Who among you know who your representatives are for, or senators for your district? Okay. So we tell you the importance of knowing that, and we tell you why exactly it is that you need to advocate and how what the do's and don'ts of doing legislative visits, how you can approach your local legislator, the avenues to getting there. We go over just the basics of how a bill becomes a law so you can understand that. The community-based organizations that we've worked with have requested also any local, you know, policy that are relevant, so we share that to them based on their state, and we talk about the Affordable Care Act and how it impacts their communities as well. But we always, always get local speakers so that participants who are part of the training have that immediate direct access to these people as soon as the training is over. And you can see in the picture is Representative David Litvak with one of our participants. He's from Utah. And one of our partners says he's actually a Republican, and our partners in Utah would say that, you know, Utah is such a, it's a very, very red state. It's so red, it's almost maroon is what she says. And it's a good way that transitioning into this workshop, you know, a legislator actually comes and the participants can do their pitch and their ask and their tell their story, and he can give you feedback. And he did give feedback on how to best work with them. And they're very, actually, most of your legislators are very are easy to approach and talk to. The final module is the half day, really talking about cancer support groups. So we begin and end with cancer, and we talk about how to create, maintain, and sustain cancer support groups. And we also really advocate for sort of creating cancer support groups that are specific to your communities. So that people talk about who in their families or their friends they know and why cancer is close to them and their hearts. And this is Roxana Bautista in the middle on the rightmost picture. And we have Tao Bei. Oh, and Peach just walked in. Hello, Tao, why don't you wave your hand? She's at the very back, and she also talks about a lot of leadership components and the importance of working in coalitions and the importance of networking. And Marianne Chung, who's also there, is from Georgia, and we had helped her to begin and start Chinese and a Korean cancer support group over there. So just a quick overview of our outreach. Since 2009, we've been in these different states. Our most recent one was in Utah, where it's where the second largest concentration of Tongans and Samoans are. In fact, I think it's one in every four Pacific Islanders are reside in in Utah. So we make sure that we reach the states where there are rising and emerging populations. So we've trained a total of 191 participants so far. And then if you break this down further, we have a lot of participants who represent programs in health, the Department of Public Health. We have cancer programs in staff, universities, cancer survivors, and community-based organizations. And if we find that we have a good, we have a diverse group of participants, it makes the work better, easier for us to encourage collaborations and encourage network and coalition building. And just really quickly, what we've done so far in terms of post-training is we've helped to build, you know, cancer support groups and doing really connecting people with one another. People have joined policy and research reviewing bodies, so we help to support technical assistance and provide nominations to key stakeholder group, and before, and just here's just a couple of testimonials from our participants. Next steps, and also to answer my the call to action piece, is what's coming up is we're now accepting applications for National Advisory Council. We're looking for talented and your talents and your expertise, and help to inform our work. It's in our website, which is in the next slide. We're also coming up with working on, we have different action teams, one of which is a training of trainers. So we're looking to moving forward, build a curriculum for the CATCH so that we can bring this to train other trainers who can do and implement the work in their own communities. And finally, anybody here from Hawaii? No. So our next CATCH training is going to be in Hilo, Hawaii in June 2013. So here's our information, Facebook and our Videos of Hope where cancer survivor stories are located, and access to our newsletter and policy updates are here by subscribing to our listserv. And finally, this is our website. Join us. It's completely free. You'll be connected with around 400 different community-based advocates, individuals, and organizations. And here's our contact information. And I would like to plug that we are accepting nominations for the National Advisory Council. We'd love for you to be there and help us move our work forward. So that's it. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you. That was great. We discussed among ourselves what questions we might want to ask, but I actually think just given the energy of the room, I'd love to see if you have any questions. Great. Can you just stand and say who you are?
Hi. My name is Sheila, and I work with the Region 9 Office of Women's Health.
Okay, great.
For Trish, could you remind me of or provide the slide that had the name of the community-based organization that?
Oh, sure.
And Phoenix. And then with regard to universities, generally, who are you training who are associated with those universities? Faculty, staff, a mix?
So a lot of the requests for us to conduct CATCH trainings are from our community-based organizations who we may or may not have previous relationships with. And so they're our local partners, and we collaborate with them to plan the programs. And it's over at least 6 months, and we meet with them bi-monthly. And they're the ones who actually help us with promotion on the ground and help us to reach the universities and students. In Salt Lake City, for example, the University of Utah was there, and a lot of the students came in and shared how they had local policy initiatives that they've been doing through the schools and how they're mobilizing their youth. So they share a lot of those best practices as well. So we have faculty who have come. We've had students. A challenge, though, is because of, it's 2.5 days of commitment. Some of them may just be attending 1 or 2 days, but we still encourage them to come because it can be a great resource, particularly for students.
Any other questions?
I have a question for Trish also.
It's okay.
The funding for the CATCH projects, is that a 3-year, 5-year funding opportunity, and how do organizations find out about the CATCH funding opportunity?
The CATCH program is funded by the CDC to help address cancer control and prevention and among Asian Americans and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders. So we are in a second round. So we have been funded since 2003. It's a 5-year funding term. So this is, we're actually in our fifth and final year. So we haven't had any news yet if there's another source. But in terms of CATCH, so we do provide the funding for, the workshops and trainings for free in terms of us coming to the state and staff time, but we do try and implement it into, incorporate it into each of our CDC funding years and into our work plans. But we work with the local community-based organization to see, and if we can, ask for, sponsorships. And we've had like Komen or the local ACS, just fund and help to fund like the venue or at least the food, which we also provide to participants.